Ridge, 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. The House delivering a rebuke to President Biden for delaying a shipment of bombs to Israel. It voted to force immediate delivery of all weapons approved for Israel. The president's threatened a veto. The U.S. military has finished a temporary floating pier in Gaza to get more aid in. Pentagon spokesperson Sabrina Singh.
Once our ships are able to get to the pier and transload that aid onto the pier, you'll see it happen pretty quickly.
A long day of defense cross-examination in the Trump hush money criminal trial in New York, highlighting past lies of Michael Cohen that he's since admitted. No mention of the current allegations. Afterward, in a hallway, the defendant.
I think it was a very interesting day. It was a fascinating day. And it shows what a scam this whole thing is.
The Biden administration announcing it's officially moving forward with a proposal to reclassify marijuana on the federal level as a less dangerous drug. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice President Kamala Harris back in Wisconsin Thursday. She spoke to black voters in Milwaukee about the administration's efforts to create economic opportunity.
You see the signs around Milwaukee and around our country brought to you by the Biden-Harris administration, and you see a crane and you see shovels in the ground.
Harris also talked about forgiving student loan and medical debt and improving access to housing. The Green Bay Packers will play at least five games on national primetime TV this football season. The NFL released its regular season schedule Wednesday night. The Packers will open the season with a game in Sao Paulo, Brazil on Friday, September 6th, and they'll host a game on Thanksgiving night. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin environmental organizations are calling on the United States Army Corps of Engineers to postpone the release of its draft environmental assessment and a public hearing on a new segment of the Line 5 oil pipeline. The organizations say the Army Corps is lacking critical information on Enbridge Energy's project from the Department of Natural Resources and the Bad River Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. The Bad River Band has spent years fighting to remove the pipeline from their northern Wisconsin homeland. The Bayfront area in Duluth is playing host to hundreds of Newfoundland dogs this week. According to a Fox 21 report, the Newfoundland Club of America National Showcase is being held at Bayfront Park, with different events in the showcase being held throughout the week, with the Best in Breed competition scheduled for Saturday. The opening ceremony was held on Tuesday afternoon, featuring Newfoundland puppies and young handlers. There will also be a parade for dogs over 10 years old and a rescue parade. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers bombard the Pirates. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Pittsburgh jumped out to an early 1-0 lead. Then the Brewers turned it into a home run derby. Milwaukee with five batters with home runs on the way to a 10-2 victory over the Pirates to win the series. It started with William Contreras and his shot to right field in the third. The Brewers' Joey Ortiz.
Yeah, usually William is the one to open the floodgates if anyone. He's hitting extremely well right now, and so when he gets going, it's pretty fun.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
You know, I was pleased with today's effort at the plate. You know, Ortiz, sneaky, has been good against righties and lefties, and Churio looks like he's gaining some confidence. Contreras is out of his mind, like it's epic what he's doing.
NFL schedules are out, and the Packers will be playing on Thanksgiving, this time in prime time at home against the Dolphins. College basketball, UW Green Bay introducing Doug Gottlieb as their new head basketball coach.
Places like Wisconsin, those are the places that are special, and it really feels like home. Like, Wisconsin's a place where people still wait for you at the airport.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, a partly cloudy sky, lows to the low 40s. For tomorrow, more sunshine than clouds. In the late afternoon and evening, there could be a shower or two. Highs to the upper 70s. And still a slight chance of rain into the weekend. Highs in the low 80s Saturday, mid 70s Sunday. It's 55 right now.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Matt Mayer on air.
Dr. Karen Tamarius, she's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matt Mayer on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Crude and Dom.
Crude and Rich are doing it live this Friday, a special Barron Trump graduation edition. Call in with your grievances, Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH. Hayward's home for Matt Mayer on air.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yeah, it's Tim and Johnny, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Thursday night, Johnny Lupinacci.
Hey, how we doing, Tim?
Well, I mean, our guest, we're not going to introduce him yet, but since he's complimented on so many times, okay, if you're in your car, if you're on the app listening to the show, okay, just keep listening. Don't worry. Don't go run to the Twitter feed or the X feed or the Facebook tweet feed.
Don't crash.
But Johnny's rocking a stupendous mustache. Stupendous. Man, Lupinacci, stupendous mustache. You know what, though? Underneath that hat, though, I know the reality.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. You know, we'll get there. We'll get there. About halfway through, I'll ditch the hat because it always gets sweaty up top, you know, Tim. But if you need to cool off or you need something refreshing, if you're in Madison or if you're way up north in Minocqua, you can hit up the Minocqua Brewing Company. Busted Pencils is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Washington to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. Tim, it's Thursday. It's nice outside.
It's Thursday. And check it out
in a little bit, man. But I'll tell you what, I'd love to throw down a Minocqua brew if I was in Madison.
Especially in Madison. And remember, too, they sued the state of Wisconsin, Johnny Lupinacci.
Oh, did I say Washington?
You said Washington.
Man, I am.
Just make
it's Thursday,
out.
Okay? It's Thursday.
It's Thursday, okay, but check this out.
And I'm going raw. You know, I don't have any artificial intelligence here.
Okay, well, speaking of that artificial intelligence, tonight on Busted Pencils, we are diving into the digital frontier of education with a very special guest, Aaron McKelkey, a trailblazer in teaching and integrating AI technologies in the classroom. He has a rich background in social studies and educational leadership, has dedicated his career to empowering students to not only leverage technology, but thrive with it. By challenging traditional teaching norms and embracing AI tools like ChatGPT, Aaron is reshaping how students learn, prepare for the future careers, tackle the challenges of the modern world, get ready to be inspired. Let's bust some pencils. Welcome to Busted Pencils, Aaron McKelkey. What do you think? AI generated that introduction. How did it do, Aaron?
I'd say that was pretty solid, Dr. Tim. Thanks. I'm flattered.
Well, there you go. I mean, AI would not lie, so it's all true. And actually, though, it could. But Aaron, this is awesome. I've got some great questions here. And Johnny, you know, say we go at this as if, you know, like Tim's the pro AI, Johnny's the anti AI. The reality is, though, is what we're really bringing are guests like you to bring more information, particularly in this idea. You know what? In classrooms, how is it being used? How is it not being used? What are some excellent ideas out there on, you know, because they say whatever the quote, I cannot remember who to attribute this to, but AI, it ain't going to uninvent itself. And here it is. And here you are. So you're a social studies history teacher. Love that. You're in great company with the two of us, social studies right. education guys. Johnny actually did a little math education, too. You know, he decided to go make things a little bit harder. But Aaron, what got you into AI as a teacher? You were a world history teacher. I see this as one of the things. What happens? You're in the classroom, you're teaching your stuff, you're boring the kids with really awful stories of the past. No. But how do you make the move into AI? Just give us a little background on Aaron McKelke, the teacher who said, you know what, I'm going to start using AI.
Well, the simple version is, a kid showed me a TikTok and he said, there's this thing called ChatGPT. You're techie. You should go check it out. And it changed the course of history.
So what did that immediately do for you, though, in the classroom as a classroom teacher? Was it a vision of going, whoa, we can use this. My students can be using this. Or was it more from the standpoint of, let me see how it can change my life first? Or was it a combination of all those?
Yeah, it was. I didn't know what I was doing, like everybody when you start something, right? And I basically said, well, how can I practice this sort of in offline mode, low risk mode? And I don't know how I came up with this idea, but I had a new semester starting in January of 2023. And we're on an intensive block schedule, kind of like a college. So all new kids, new course, you get a credit in a semester. And so I came up with this crazy idea to just do all my own assignments with ChatGPT only, no matter how bad it was. But then I also gave myself feedback and scored everything with ChatGPT. So kids weren't involved and no one saw it. And my admin wouldn't say I was breaking rules. I don't know if they knew what ChatGPT was back then. And I just said, no matter what, I'll do it for a semester. And that was my experiment to get me in the game.
Oh, and it got you in the game for sure. Our guest is Aaron McKelke. We are talking artificial intelligence in the classroom. The number is 855-752-4842. Aaron, so you've taken a stance, though, that actually it's quite contrary to traditional teaching methods by you actively integrating AI into your classrooms. Give us a little experiential sense of how are you bringing AI into the classroom? You talked about how you used it on yourself for that semester, but give us some sense of what are you doing to show it to your high school students?
Yeah, well, I knew there'd be a process of, it would have to be a teacher-facing tool first. I'm not going to go unleash this on kids until I know what I'm doing and what it can't do. And I'll give you one example. Tim, I had a student on an IEP who had a co-teacher in the classroom, and one of the main jobs they would do servicing reading minutes in a world history class is leveling text. So the student's dyslexic, reading on, you know, third to fifth grade level, and that takes a lot of manpower. And we thought, what if we threw the text I'm going to give that's, you know, something from the Middle Ages and throw it in and say, can you side by side this on a third grade level? And we got to the point where the kid was doing it himself and he just loved it.
Yep.
And then the human in the room is like, oh, cool. I don't have to do the busy work, menial thing. I can actually teach and work on assessing the student and building a relationship. And it was kind of like getting rid of the manual labor side. And honestly, I think the ChatGPT did a better job than the person with the college degree.
Johnny Lupinacci, man, that sounds like he's gearing up for that competition, man.
Well, no, Tim, I think this one I'm going to have to say, I'm going to give myself credit on. I've said all along, it's a powerful tool that isn't going to replace the important work that we need to be doing on the job in the industries we're in, but that it'll be industry changing. And I love how Aaron shared it here. It's like, man, what a powerful tool that, you know, whether it's a parapro or co-teacher or, you know, person assigned to helping differentiate or level out reading. That's a time consuming task that is nearly everyone who's done this, right? It knows it's so hard to do in real time while you're also supporting the student and, you know, you're in the moment of being in class.
And so what a really cool way, like Tim said, take out the, or Aaron, you said, Tim, you, this is why you're a big fan of AI. It takes out that busy work. You know, it's why I said, I really do believe, I think the first time I heard about it from students and then started asking people in the industry about it, it was with journalists, journalism majors and writers who were saying, it's not going to replace writers. It's just going to mean we get like jobs where we're right. We're not writing meaningless content anymore. Like that part of our workday is cranked out and we're just editing, getting that up and working on things that are, you know, actual representations of our skill set and our passion for that thing. So what a cool story about, you know, that student in your classroom who now the focus can be on the relationship, can be on improving their learning, and how empowering that they can just be like doing it themselves and seeing that, you know what, I got access to knowledge and it doesn't need to be this painful like process. Just that's crank what, it up, team up with the tools.
That was the thought I was thinking about that, Aaron, when you described the student. It had to be empowering for the student to realize that this tool was, you know, and you say in the special education world, we're moving into this, it's an adaptive technology then is what you're talking about here, using this with the special education student. Tell me more about the student. Their experience had to also kind of be, I've been doing a lot of reading with Ethan Mollick, who's doing a lot of AI teaching and learning stuff at the Wharton School. And he's really talking about this idea of AI being a co-intelligence, something we take with us that helps us fill in gaps where any of us might have a gap, and so that it can help us learn. And it sounds like this is what's happening, at least in this one instance with your special education student, the idea of saying, hey, the reading level of this medieval text, sorry, first of all, it's hard enough for anybody. Mm-hmm. And then the reality is here is that you're scaling it down. I wonder then too, just like, tell me more about this student.
To me, it was like giving that kid a superpower. And here's the really interesting part. We can talk about the student side, but I want to hear Dr. Johnny's response to this. My co-teacher, who's a certified special educator, told some other teachers, here's what we did, and the kids kind of running with it, and got some major blowback from colleagues who said, you know, well, you can't trust a kid to do that. What, you know, how do you know it's true? How do you know it's good? And we realized that we kind of had to do this in secret because a lot of people, even down the hallway, were not open to that and got defensive about it. Yeah. So since you're the skeptic, not the anti, but the skeptic AI guy, what's your message to those of us that are trying to push and develop things when people might, their knee-jerk response is to fight it or say that's bad, that's cheating, it's taking my job, etc.?
Yeah, well, Aaron, good point, because the opposition is really like kind of a dig in deep and oppose. And I tease with that a little bit with Tim here, because primarily we were looking at it as a writing tool. And then some of the, like you said, some of the limitations and some of the benefits. And I would say to those peer teachers, like, hey, we've all been here at different times in our careers where technology has changed how we taught, right? Like calculator in the math classroom. There is a lot of ways in which, you know, Google was a big one too. People were like, kids are just going to Google things. Say, you know, that the co-teacher is looking at this and saying, hey, this is pretty good. And the benefit outweighs the possibility that it's, you know, translating that text into a different, you know, level reading. I wouldn't trust it necessarily to, it's not like you said, hey, we had this student just say, hey, this historical figure, I'm going to chat with Abraham Lincoln, right? And so, you know, it's a text, it's a basic language function to change the language into a different level of reading. It freed you and the co-teacher up to do better teaching. That sounds like a win-win. And it's an uphill battle. Like, Aaron, I appreciate you doing that. We're going to talk about it a little bit more, too, because the opposition is fierce, and I'm on that side as a skeptic.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Hello, when you're listening to Busted Pencils, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators, talking education. Yeah, and we're talking AI in education tonight. 855-752-4842 is the number. If you have a question, our guest, Aaron McKelkey, yeah, doing AI in the high school classroom out in the state of Wyoming. Johnny was, you know, kind of, there was a little exchange there, really nice between Aaron asking Johnny about this kind of skepticism, but you know, it made me think, though, too. I mean, because we had a great guest who put out some real cautions for us, Tom Mullaney. Johnny, you remember this? And in fact, the potential was, is that can you trust it? And Aaron, I was wondering about, you know, the question somebody might have said, or you were saying, the teachers down the hall were already kind of like, oh my God. Is it the possibility of taking, let's just work with the example you gave us. So there's a medieval text. It's hard enough to read for anybody, but a student with a special education IEP, let's use ChatGPT to bring this text down to, quote, the grade level that's appropriate so that it reads it. The skeptical side of this goes, well, can you trust the way ChatGPT took that and rewrote it so that it didn't take away from the original text in that sense, because you don't really know that it truly broke it down to grade level. Is that too much worrying? I mean, how do you wrestle with that concept of somebody going, yeah, Aaron, but you don't know if it really did translate it the right way. You know that for sure, right? You know, it's just a machine and the machine doesn't know what it's really doing, Aaron.
Well, the machine can do what you can prompt it to do. And we forget that because a lot of those people who haven't played with these tools think the first output you get is what you're stuck with. And they go, oh, it hallucinates and it fills in the blank and doesn't tell you what it doesn't know. Well, I'm also a certified teacher who is literate and I'm going to read it before I give it to a kid. And they forget that part. Like, and here's the really where it's going is you can teach the kid those tools so that he can do that on his own and have the understanding of the text or the content area and the prompting process of the AI to say, okay, I'm not going to just take the first generic thing that it gives me. And that's really the ultimate direction. And where I think that's going, I think kids with IEPs and their accommodations, they really should in the next couple of years start to have their own custom AI tool that can do at least 90% of the busy work, especially when it comes to texts and math problems and changing assessments to be meet their accommodations, that all the time we spend in these meetings and these giant 55-page IEPs, let's build them a custom GPT that they can take into English class and learn to do a lot of that on their own. I know that scares people. And the other one, like with some of my colleagues, was, well, what am I going to do? What's my job going to be? And I maybe I'm weird, but I go, something other than leveling text. That's not what I got into this field to do, was to take medieval Chaucer and get it on a third grade level, because that takes hours and it's not fun.
Well, no. Aaron, I can just imagine, you know, and I love it for this use and encourage my students all the time to use this, is, you know, as I used tools all the time to reformat readings. Like we all learned, like we're going to bring something that's all condensed and small and like packed into maybe a journal format or a magazine layout. And if I want my 10th graders to read it, you know, I got to relay it out so that it's chunks of text that they can digest. Right. And so we do this manually and it would take hours and hours as a teacher after hours working to reformat text. So as you're talking about it, I'm like, man, I love this tool because it's freeing you up to do better teaching. Right. It's like if there is a tool that would automatically clean my house and do my dishes, you know, like then it just frees me up to have like time and space at home that I otherwise wouldn't have. So it as a tool that brings value to the profession that we're in as educators. I mean, here we're three social studies guys. We talk about like the importance of democratic citizenship and having this sort of literacy of the world and understanding history. Well, I would say to my peers who are opposed to that or they're skeptical of it, it's like, hey, what is most likely? Let's be real. Tim's been saying this.
Let's be real.
Enough kids to know what happens is they shut down. And they're being maybe compliant. Maybe they're behaving or nodding or like, you know, we assume that they did the reading. But most like most students, not even the student with the IEP, a lot of students are just like, man, I didn't read that. So you're increasing their engagement by saying, hey, if you read it and you need like a translation or, you know, a breakdown, here are some that we, you know, here are the prompts we could put in to get a good breakdown. Here's a great breakdown of this. I mean, to me, it's a quicker version of like Cliff Notes or other things. It doesn't replace the original. You're still providing them the primary source. They know where the information is coming from and they're engaged with that, I would say, in a really critical and realistic day-to-day way.
Yeah, think about, man, I'm getting a slight feeling that Johnny Lupinacci is less skeptical.
We're gonna start with the prompt and AI and I are gonna go head to head on who gets published first.
Okay. And hey, check it out. We do. Yeah, one caller in right now. The call it's 855-752-4842. But Catherine, you're on the line. How are you doing, our friend?
Hey there, guys. I am fascinated by this conversation, first of all. I tuned in late, forgive me, but it feels to me like you guys as educators are kind of into AI because we have to teach it, right? You are teachers, so of course you like AI because you're going to be making, with your interactions with AI, teaching it, we are all going to be making, I'm not thinking of Terminator, but we're making the personal assistants like you talk about that are going to be bodies eventually, I think, you know, that kind of real assistance. And it starts with artificial intelligence.
Wow, Aaron, right? It sounds like you got Catherine thinking about this, Aaron.
There are some other bigger things that I'm not trying to brag, but I mean, I'll just tell you the coolest one that I think I've ever seen in my classroom in 14 years. I have a blind student. She has a Braille note. Basically, it's a laptop that she feels the text through her fingers. The little things pop up. And I made a custom AI tool to help my students write better history essays. It does not write them for them. It gives them feedback on using specific evidence and all the tools I want them to do. And I sat there and I watched a blind student through her fingertips interact with this AI tool that I built her and get real-time feedback. And I was just like, I can't believe this is even possible. And why would we not use that? Why should she wait until Sunday night when I'm 13 papers through the stack to get to hers to give her feedback? Why shouldn't she get it right now too?
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Yeah, our guest Aaron McKelkey, artificial intelligence in the classroom. When we get back, okay, more skeptics questions are awaiting.
Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Wisconsin-based company is recalling several cream cheese spreads sold at Aldi stores due to potential salmonella. Schreiber Foods of Green Bay and Aldi say the 8-ounce containers have a sell-by date of August 30th through September 22nd. The company say they should be thrown out or returned. Guaranteed income programs give monthly cash payments to low-income households. Rachel Barnart is with a nonprofit that facilitates these programs around the country. The money comes with no strings, but research shows it gets spent on necessities.
Like housing, food, utilities, transportation, child care.
Madison had a privately funded guaranteed income program in 2022 and 23. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Blatnick Bridge reconstruction project now has all the funding it needs to complete work on the bridge. According to the Minnesota and Wisconsin Departments of Transportation, the project's request of $1 billion in federal funding to replace the bridge has been approved. In addition to the funding, the project has also completed its environmental assessment, which found no significant impact that would have halted work on the bridge. The bulk of construction work likely will not begin until 2027. University of Minnesota Duluth officials are helping high school students who are navigating a new and shaky financial aid program. According to a Northern News Now report, this is the first year high school students will use the new FAFSA program, which has been plagued by delays and glitches since its soft launch in December. Students have complained that they aren't even able to get into the system to complete the necessary forms. The issues with the new system have delayed some financial aid offers to students. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. When a show becomes a hit, it's easier to get big stars to sign on. Such is the case with Only Murders in the Building, which is about to launch Season 4. Entertainment Weekly reports that a new trailer was released on Tuesday, which showcases all the new faces, which include Melissa McCarthy, Zach Galifianakis, Eva Longoria, Meryl Streep, and Molly Shannon. How's that for star power? It also doesn't hurt that people want to work with comedy legends Steve Martin and Martin Short. And Selena Gomez isn't too shabby either. Only Murders drops on Hulu August 27th. Are you ready for more Terminator? The franchise's latest installment is an episodic animated series set in Tokyo in 1997. Entertainment Weekly reports the show will have more of an emphasis on the horror genre from the first two feature films. Head writer Mattson Tomlin says the series will have all original characters and will take place just before Judgment Day. Episodes for the show will drop August 29th at 3 a.m. You can have the entire season completed by lunchtime. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, a partly cloudy sky, lows to the low 40s. For tomorrow, more sunshine than clouds. In the late afternoon and evening, there could be a shower or two. Highs to the upper 70s. And still a slight chance of rain into the weekend. Highs in the low 80s Saturday, mid 70s Sunday. Currently 57 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
So I have super parallel parking skills. And on the east side where I live, I will often sit on my front porch and like a play-by-play call as if it was a sport. Parallel parking to me is a sport. I'm the Stephen A. Smith of parallel parking. That should go on a t-shirt.
We'll get you one made.
Oh my gosh.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we recombobulate with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area in hour number 2, Zombie Cicadas, coming to a neighborhood near you. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
always standing on the rooftop, busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number is 855-752-4842. Our guest, Aaron McKelkey, AI in the classroom, talking about using it in the classroom. Yeah, and in fact, bringing the power of a tool, particularly with the students, and helping some of the students really realize. You gave us two great examples, Aaron. I just want to read the text. So we got a text from Jameson in Pennsylvania. I use AI to generate graphs or charts for me. I came up with the data and the numbers myself, but instead of taking the time on Excel or another program, I input the data and get exactly what I need. Most of the time, I don't consider it illegitimate. To me, it's a time saver, and still using all of my found data. It's simply another tool. To that point, Aaron, what'd you think about Jameson's comment there?
He's exactly right most of the time, and I bet he read the outputs before he put them in his report or published it and went, you know, I'll go back and tweak 5 or 10% of it, but if 90 to 95% of it was right and it does it faster, why wouldn't I use that tool?
Yeah. Well, okay. So Aaron, you talked about in the break, we say, you know, before we get into all the positives, you got to tell us about the story. You said a whole department. So the opposition to you being a teacher using AI, I'm assuming that you're saying like opposition, like within the own, your own building that you're teaching, yes, that your own colleagues are. So tell us about this, the mounting, what do you want to say? The onslaught of anti-AI people going after Aaron McKelkey. What happened?
Yeah. Well, and I'm on my TikTok stream, so I got to shout out Lily and Christian and John, but To put it in the language of my students, I had some ops. I don't know if your college students talk about their ops. Is that a term that registers in your guys' brain?
Oh, yeah.
No. Okay, Johnny Lupinacci, ops.
So ops are like that person that haunts your dream, your enemy. Say you're that teacher that gives a lot of essays, like, oh, man, he's my op this semester. That Dr. Lupinacci, he's my op. And so kids would say that the English department was collectively my op, because I showed some students some tools in my room, and I'd been doing ChatGPT for all my own assignments as a teacher. And I finally was like, I got to show them some of these things you can do. Besides, here's what kids will do if you don't teach them. They go, hey, ChatGPT, write me an essay that summarizes The Great Gatsby, copy, paste, submit. The teacher, you know, understandably so, says, this is terrible. You cheated. It's AI. AI is bad. And I'm like, well, once they know that this exists, which they all do because it's on social media and they all show each other, why don't we teach them productive ways to use it so that's not the only outcome that we get from it? And the department chair of the English department came and talked to the social studies department chair and basically said, you guys got to stop teaching kids this stuff. And kids are saying that you're teaching them how to cheat. And my department chair, ironically, he sits me down and he's a great dude and a friend of mine. And he's like, hey, man, I get it. I have this side business and I use AI to do like half of it. So I'm just going to pretend like we talked and you were just like, OK, and no one else has to know anything else. And I said, well, I'll go talk to him. Like, tell me where my ops are in the English department. And so I just went and had lunch with a couple of them. And I said, well, if you'd like to know how I use it, you can come in my room anytime. You're welcome to see. And if you have questions about what kids are saying, come ask me and I'd be happy to share the ways that I've used this. And, you know, it turns out none of them had used AI. None of them knew what ChatGPT was. They're like, it's cheating. And you showed it to them. Therefore, you're encouraging cheating. Mm. And so to get, you know, department head to department head level blowback, it would have been easy, but I'm like, you know what? This is the future and kids are going to use it anyways. I was in an English class, ironically, 2 days ago, and these two kids were writing an essay and they had their phone out and they were on some free app that was a version of ChatGPT, using it horribly. Like, I watched what they were doing and it was so hard to not say, okay, this is exactly why we have to teach it, because yes, what they're doing probably is cheating according to this teacher and just typical teacher ethics. But they already have that tool. So we're not going to just say, don't ever use that again. Uninstall the internet, you know?
Yeah. Well, and teaching them,
teaching them how to use it, right? Like, I like what Aaron's talking about here, teaching them how to use it. And this goes back, I'm dating myself, but, you know, in the math classroom with the calculator, and then, you know, there's like, the students aren't going to be able to do their math. It's like, they're still doing math just fine, you know, and it just, it does change how we teach, you know? And so I want to say it a little more bluntly, like, the English department is going to have to grapple with this, probably begrudgingly, but it's going to change the kinds, like you just said, the kinds of ways they give assignments, the ways that they teach their students to utilize the tools that are at their disposal to be better writers.
Well, then, and that's the part too. I heard this a lot. At my institution, Aaron, I got some blowback from some history faculty and the English faculty about going, my God, you know, just keep this away from our students. It's like, first of all, look, you can't. And Aaron, what a great story though, too, is like seeing kids using it inappropriately, incorrectly, and maybe even cheating. The reality there then is to say, you can't do that. Or you can say, guess what? You're not using this ethically. Let's engage in how to use this tool ethically to actually help you, you know, put it as a co-intelligence. Got another text from Jethro in Spokane, Washington. Great conversation with Aaron. He's obviously doing great stuff. We shouldn't expect someone to read something that AI wrote faster than they can read it. Man, we're getting the texts coming in there. Yeah, you can jump on the phone too, 855-752-4842. Busted Pencils, fully led at Education Talk. Educated educators talking education. Educated educators talking AI education tonight. Our guest, Aaron McKelkey. All right, so Aaron, here's one from your blog. I got to quote this. It says, what if I told you that you could use AI tools to gain an ethical advantage in your learning? Sentence number one opens up the blog using. So right there is what you're saying is to go like, look, I'm going to teach them how to use it ethically. What about somebody who says using AI is unethical? Therefore, end of story, Aaron, out.
That's easy. Is fire bad or good? Is it cooking your food or burning down your house?
Yep.
Because right. It's all about how you use the tool. And we know teenagers, they will take the shortcuts and the easy mode and the cheat code if that's all they know.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the accusation that it's cheating or that's unethical, I think it's a lot of deflection and projection. It's because it's really important as educators that we are self-reflective on like what's working and how are young people learning and what are the really relevant ways that they're going to need to understand how to use these tools as they go forth into college. You know, if we're talking about high school students or college into career, this is the reality. And so to learn to use a powerful tool ethically is really important, right? I like what Aaron said about like fire is like, come on, we have all these tools at our human disposal. It doesn't eliminate the human, but it changes how and what we do at work. And I think, honestly, I know it's going to change the landscape, but I really do believe it's going to make space for more meaningful engagement in the professions that we go into.
I keep hearing that, too, as being that opportunity for us to do more meaningful work. Aaron, in fact, one of the other things that you do a lot of is that really emphasizing this for your students so that they actually recognize that how they're going to use it in college and how they're going to use it into the workforce. Talk more about that from the standpoint of preparing them for the future. And the fact is that AI is their future.
Yeah, I'll just give an example. I got a text last week from a former student, brilliant mind, mathematician, got an economics and blockchain degree. The University of Wyoming has a blockchain program and some awesome stuff going on in the crypto space. And this student got a job with the financial services office on campus. And he texted me and he goes, hey, I just met with my boss. I got this going on. And he outlined my new position. Here's my big goal. Go learn how to use AI because none of us know how to use it. And then in about 6 months, come back and teach all of us what can we automate? What can we outsource to it? How can we apply it? Because we know it's out there, but we have no idea how to put it to work for us. That was like his whole objective as a new employee in that department. And so he texted me and he's like, you want to do this together? Can I join your group? Like, I don't know how to do that, but that's my job. And I also asked them in the university what teachers were okay with it versus tried to ban it or make you afraid of it. And he goes, only the business professors. And I said, I wonder why that is. And he goes, well, because they know that's the future and it's capitalism. Like, if I can do it faster and cheaper, I'm going to do it. Whereas I've had some, you know, not to hate on our own profession, but a history student at the same university say, all my finals are paper pencil and my teacher's anti-AI and we scan it with this. And I said, you know, here's a little dose of irony for those type of teachers and professors. And I get it. I love them, but I am kind of stirring the pot here. They tell students, you can't just rely on a piece of software to do this thing for you and not use your own faculty and evaluate it yourself and put your own content in it. But then they're using a program like Turnitin.com or GPT-0, and they go, oh, this thing magically says it's AI generated, therefore zero, you cheated. And I go, what happened to not relying on a piece of software to do it for me, Mr. Professor?
Yeah, exactly. I think Aaron's saying it, saying nicely, is like, educators fundamentally opposed to this or who are taking a hard line on this, you know, you really got to turn the lens inward and ask, like, are you a good teacher? And I'll put it out there, like, you might be a brilliant and engaging person, but like, these are the technologies, these are the tools, and they're not replacing the learning. Right? It's not instead of, it's not really cheating. I hate that it's even called cheating. I mean, we can potentially,
we can use it to cheat. We absolutely can, is what you're saying. But again, like any tool,
I'll even say only if you get given a really bad assignment.
There you go. Okay. Yeah.
But again, we had this debate, you know, like decades ago in high school, like, oh, they're cheating on their essays. Like, well, is the prompt really meaningless? Are they engaged? Like, did you make the assignment relevant, engaging, timely, and meaningful? And is it measuring what you really want to know from them? And in most cases, like Aaron shared with us tonight, and I'm sure is kind of congruent across his teaching, is that, you know, what he wants to measure from his students' learning, this is helping him do that. Yeah. This is helping get to that essence of learning the content rather than making it all about an assignment be a particular way that's super easy to cheat on without AI. So, you know, it's like, I always hear when teachers say, well, they're cheating. And I was like, that's usually a red flag for me. It's like, well, okay, I kind of want to see your teaching now. Because,
So Aaron, the time has flown by. I mean, we're right up on this. So people are looking at, where should, you know, somebody who's interested, where should the people find Aaron McKelkey?
Well, my website's aaronmckelkey.com, AaronMakelky. My biggest platform somehow, some way, has turned out to be TikTok.
Whoa.
I think one of the best things I do as a teacher, I'm mediocre on a good day, but one of the best things I do is I ask my students to teach me stuff. And my wife said, you know, you got to get on TikTok. You do cool stuff. People like it. I got over that fear and did it. And my seventh video I ever made is, it's like 9 or 9 point something million views after 7 weeks.
Wow.
And it was not my idea. I didn't set up my phone to film in the certain mode or pick the song. It was all my students just kind of giving me advice on that. And it taught me an important lesson that those platforms, young people understand. And if you're an old person like me, just go to them. So I post a TikTok every day, which one of my favorite things to do as a teacher is when kids are on their phone in class or I have to take it away and they're like, but I'm on your TikTok. And I never thought that would be the case, but I'm on Twitter and all my handles are Aaron McKelkey. I just did that to make it easy to find. And I'm working on my YouTube channel, but my website's the biggest one, aaronmckelkey.com.
We'll absolutely have that link out there too for people downloading the podcast to make sure that they can get that, aaronmckelkey.com. It's Busted Pencils. Aaron, thank you so much for Busting Pencils. We got to have you back one more time. When we get back though, Tim and Johnny breaking it down. 1,000 miles away.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Ah, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, talking AI education tonight. Yeah, you know, if you want to jump in, we had some texts, we'll call her though. The number's 855-752-4842. You're a teacher, AI, are you using it? If you are, how are you using it? If you are on that side of going, I don't want people using it, give us a call too. We'd love to hear from you. I mean, tell us about the realities of why we should think very deeply about whether or not students even should be using this. And again, you know, yeah, Johnny and Tim, we're always playing like Tim's the pro AI guy. Johnny's the anti-AI guy. We're really educated educators talking about AI education, making sure that we say, because you guess what? It's like a lot of things. It's a tool. And yeah, it can be used to do horrible things. And it can be used to do some amazing things. Johnny, when I hear Aaron talking about, again, the IEP, so a student with an individual education plan, so that special education student, he's got a co-special education teacher with him in his history class. Yeah, talking about, you know, presenting the kids a medieval text for seniors, juniors and seniors in high school, heck, even for anybody, reading that is really hard reading. So the reality then, though, too, of saying to a student with special needs, using the tool to take that text and to level it down to the ability so that now the student, I love what Aaron was talking about, the student now just uses that tool to help them engage in texts.
Yeah, Tim, and it doesn't replace or change anything. It just makes space for more meaningful engagement. And I'll give, you know, kind of building on that same sort of example, that's not even for the student with the IEP.
Right.
It's just, that's an empowering example. It's for all the students. You know, this is not that different than, you know, when I was teaching social studies, we went to a special training around reading apprenticeship, and it was great. Kind of taught us how to break down difficult readings for our students to kind of look at them differently, change the format of them, teach them how to pull out a main sentence, you know, highlight critical questions that they have from the reading. So you're still doing that with this really powerful tool that you can also be fact checking. Be like, hey, we talked about good prompts for AI, bad prompts for AI. What did AI generate for you based on this article or based on this reading that we looked at together this week? And we can see and we can sort of evaluate and question our sources and determine together, right, with consensus, hey, was this good, meaningful information that we can take with us? Mm. Or, you know, or was it, did it fall short, to have some gaps? That process alone,
right,
is really engaging and really about right. learning. So, I mean, we tease like you're for it, I'm against it. You know, I think I'm 100% for it as a tool.
Right.
And I'm against the world is changing and it's replacing us. And there's these Terminator, you know, we're headed towards these Terminator machines that are going to end all teaching, you know, and end all professions, just robots doing everything and people sitting at home. You know, it's like, okay, we've watched The Matrix too many times or other movies that, you know, that gets played out. You know, Aaron shared it with us. It only knows as much as it's told. Mm-hmm. And so as we engage with these, you know, these tools and these plugins, I think our caller Catherine said this too, like as educators, we need to be really, you know, engaged with this tool. I can't imagine that there's a math teacher out there that doesn't interact with calculators these days.
Right.
It's, you know, similar. There are writers who choose to only work on a typewriter.
Right.
You know, there are musicians who do everything all analog still. But there's some balance in between. You go into a studio and there's all kinds of tools and computers that help make music. It doesn't take the musicians out of it. Mm. You know, and so like, let's stop with the scary stuff. We're like, oh, AI is going to replace everybody. And, you know, and the students are cheating. They're actually not cheating. Teach them how to use this powerful tool.
It's like Martin. It was like Martin said, though, too. Martin Atkins, our guest drummer, you know, it will eliminate bad drumming, like Martin said. And guess what? If you're a crappy teacher, yeah, maybe it is coming for your job. But you know what? Stop being a crappy teacher. Use the tool. It's Busted Pencils. The number is 855-752-4842. We just had a guest, Aaron McKelkey. We'll have a link for the podcast so you can check out all of his stuff. And in fact, you know, you can even sign up for one of Aaron's courses if you want to get yourself in front of, well, you can't get in front of AI at this point right now. We're all playing some form of catch up by going after this because it truly changes every day. Johnny, I got to tell you, though, one of the things that's happening, you say about using it, right, and using it as a tool. I can tell you that in my house now, my wife and I will typically start to do the, you know, we're having a conversation. We're thinking, what do you think? What do you think? And then we're going, I wonder what AI thinks. Because it's like, okay, I want to figure out whether or not I should, you know, say something in a certain way. I tell you what, as an email generating idea tool right now, I almost use it exclusively to say, I need to write an email to Johnny Lupinacci. It needs to talk about this. Give me a 3-sentence email to Johnny that's quick. And it's just the way it's become a tool now that I'm using it in that direction because it is better at making sure that I don't say something stupid.
Well, that's good, Tim. I mean, that's great. I'm still skeptical on that front. And I like that it works for you. I'm still like, that sounds like so much more work than me just typing up my email to Tim or my email to, you know, my colleague or whoever. So, I mean, I'm always open-minded about it, but I'm still going to dig in a little bit and be like, for me, it's quicker. You know what else is quick, Tim? If you're in Madison, heading down to the Minocqua Brewing Company. And why would you head down to the Minocqua Brewing Company?
Because Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beers. And while you're there, take your phone with you, download one of the latest AI tools. Hey, and if there's no one there at the bar to talk to your AI, have a conversation with it, Johnny, because that is, though, the reality, too, is we're using AI, is that I see a lot of people's skepticism, and Aaron talked about this, and it's either they haven't used it or they've used it one time, and they used it one time, and they kind of didn't really realize that actually it's a dialogue machine. You really need to have a dialogue with this to really get it to work. And so when you're talking about prompting, it likes context. It likes details. It likes for you to say, hey, I didn't really like it that way. Tell me a little bit more. Busted Pencils. Hey, tomorrow night, Friday night, wrapping it up. Busted Pencils. Thanks for a great night, everybody. See you tomorrow.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Todd Allball.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll preview Sitten de Mai in Stoughton, a Norwegian fest, also Willie Nelson's in Madison, all that and more. Join us.
The Todd Allball Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. Your news just for the Superior area. I'm James Kelly with WBZH News.
Missed your favorite show live on air?
It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.